to the Talk Hub podcast. Find us on all your favorite podcast platforms or watch us on YouTube.
All right. Here we are, brother.
Bring him on.
Episode 8, Talk Hub podcast. I'm Kurt, and this is my left-hand man here, Jeff, and we make up the dynamic duo.
Oh, Jesus. You're overselling.
Sell.
You are overselling.
How you going, mate?
I'm going all right.
That's good.
Been gallivanting.
Yeah, you have. You dirty. I've been at work, doing what I got to do, just watching you enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
To be fair, that was only a small portion of the trip, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, yeah, I did go to Queensland. I was in Rocky, rolled up to Rocky, only 2 months late for Rocky Nets.
You know when they say better late than never? I don't think I agree with that this time around.
No.
Certainly not.
talking to some of the locals, though, they get around that event big time. They reckon it's great. But yeah, I went over with work. I went over for work, did a course over there and got around the town and whatnot. If I wasn't keen to go to Rocky Nets before, excuse me, got the hiccups there. If I wasn't keen to go to Rocky Nets before, I'm definitely keen now. I could see how that town suits very well. There are very wide streets.
Really?
Yeah. That was one thing that got me straight away. I was like, wow, the main roads through town and stuff are quite wide. I think it'd be good.
So you reckon it'd make like a good Mexico, is that what you're saying? Or
I don't know if it'd make a good, well, see, where I was staying was pretty much across the road from the co-op shops. I don't think that'd be a great spot.
Yeah.
But, you know, like to see, you know how they do the street drags and stuff. I can see, yeah, okay, this suits well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah, I would certainly be keen to check it out next year if we get the chance. But yeah, did a 2-day course over there and went out to Yeppoon as well. I finished early on the Wednesday and I had a hire car, so went out to Yeppoon and checked out the coast out there. Went searching for a snapping handbag or a cane toad or, you know, something that us sand groupers over here don't get to experience.
Nothing?
Nah, I didn't see fuck all.
Oh well.
But that's all right. That's right. Had some local beers, some locally brewed beers. That was cool.
Any you want to shout out? Nothing.
Hendricks Lane, really nice brewery there at Rockhampton. I did enjoy that. It's a pretty swanky, sort of fancy looking joint, but yeah, did enjoy that. And being it was the beef capital of Australia, of course I had to sample some steak.
Yeah.
Got a sweet little steak at the Criterion, which was nice.
That's making me hungry now, actually.
Yeah. Now, you're not really one to really, I guess, browse a menu or whatever, but if I was to tell you 300-gram ribeye, so on the bone, Scotch fillet is essentially a ribeye, 300-gram, what do you reckon we would be paying here in the West at a restaurant?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I never look at the prices. I just get whatever.
Yeah.
Tell me anyway.
See, over here, I would probably say somewhere around $55 to $60.
At a stab, I was going to say $50, but I don't know. I don't look at the price because if you want it, you just want it.
Yeah, that's right. Over there, I managed to get a 300-gram ribeye for $38.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That does seem
cheap.
That
is a bargain.
You would have been losing money if
what's
you walked past
better,
that deal.
Well, what's even better is I'm charging it back to the company. It's my meal expense. So
I would have been begrudged that it wasn't more, actually. You just try and get the most expensive thing on there.
on the way back home, though, I had about a 24-hour stop over in Brisbane to go to the head office there as well. Took the opportunity to, while I was on the East Coast, I thought I'd do it. Which I also took the opportunity that night to catch up with Kieran Barber.
Oh, yes.
Of Winging It Motorsports.
That was the main
fame.
Thing I was jealous about. You guys got to hang out. No, I didn't. I was like, fuck you. I think you got the picture back as well. I was at work.
You were at work, yeah. You're on night shift. So, yeah, me and Kieran of Winging It Motorsports fame, we hung out. And it was really cool just to sit down and talk to someone that does the same that we do, right? Obviously, we do different stuff to them. They are burnout car focused. We're more street car stuff and whatever. But
they're still car guys.
Yeah, they're still Commodore dudes. They high performance V8 stuff. You know, and we do YouTube as well. So just to be able to talk cars and talk the YouTube thing as well, because that's not something that we get to really do too often. Is no. You can talk to people about cars because people do get that, but there's not that many people that do this sort of back of house stuff. So that was really cool. And it's something like, I think we said it in a previous episode after motivation, you know, how people say they're coming up to meet, say, you or I, and they feel like they know us because they've seen us on the video, but we don't know them.
Mm.
Well, this was like an even weirder complex because we felt like we knew each other. We felt like we've known each other for ages, and it was just like, yeah, we were having beers like we'd known each other forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was actually really cool to, you know, feel like you had like that internet friendship.
It's weird because, yeah, you think you know him and he thinks he knows you, but he doesn't feel like you know him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a weird dynamic. But after like 10 minutes, you know, it was like we've been mates for years and years because essentially we have.
Yeah.
Essentially. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it was really cool just to talk shop and do all of that. So shout out to you, Kieran. That was a good time. We had a good time.
Yeah, hopefully and, I can tag along next time, hopefully.
Yeah, or if we go over there, but they're not going to give it away, but there may be reasons or opportunities for them coming over here.
They would enjoy that.
Yeah.
The West does put on a good event.
Yeah, yeah. Now, we do have many reasons for automotive people to want to come over. So hopefully, dude, we'll see you over here. Thanks again for the hangs, for the yarns. But yeah, Brisbane's a cool joint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. Yeah, I've been there before.
Yeah.
Yeah, my uncle and auntie used to live there and stuff, so
yeah.
Didn't spend much time there, but enough.
Yeah.
Cruisy place.
Yeah, like Brisbane itself, I was only there, like I say, for about 24 hours. I'd never been to Queensland before. I've sort of been here, there and everywhere, you know, but never been to Queensland. And yeah, I enjoyed myself. I would definitely go back. Like I say, Rocky Nats, I think. I wanted to go anyway, but now I really want to go.
Yeah. Now you're kind of like, there's no option. It's like, I'm going.
Andy Lopez, slide in.
We're going.
So what's been happening here, mate? You've been holding down the fort while I've been gone.
Yeah.
We haven't got a video out, obviously, because no. I've been on the other side of the country and it's hard to edit when you've got beers in hand.
Yeah.
Actually, this is a stark contrast to last podcast where we were sampling ready-to-drink vodka premixes, and now we've just had a coffee each because it's the morning.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. I'm getting prepped to go to bloody sleep and do some more night shifts. So.
Yeah. So how's it been going here, mate?
Good. Starting to chip away.
The low cut fuck truck.
Yeah. Yeah, the LCFT.
Yeah.
Plus. Nah, going good. Starting to, you know, haven't done heaps and heaps and heaps, but getting started on it. So, you know, got some got a turbo placed and intercooler placed and starting on some piping and stuff and starting to sort of map out in my brain where I want to start sticking things and leaving provision for that.
Yeah.
When I get to it. So
this is kind of the slow part of
the
build at the start where you're planning placement and where you've got a provision for other things that aren't there yet.
Yep.
Once we sort of nut all that out, it should start to fall together pretty well.
Yeah, it's the fun part. I like this part. It's sort of you can't just slap things here, there and everywhere and hope for the best. Well, you can, but
I think we enjoy this part because there's a lot of talking and not a lot of doing.
Yeah.
Because when you actually have to do stuff, that's when shit gets hard.
Yeah. But yeah, still got heaps of stuff to...
Oh, my dog's got the zoomies.
Yeah, dogs are playing in the background. But nice. Still got a few parts and stuff to organise, but yeah, holding it down anyway.
Got some cool plans for it as well, so keep your eyes open for those.
Oh yeah, there's a little bit of jus going to be happening.
Yeah, yeah. Nah, we're enjoying it. This big huffy boy sitting on the table. I think it's going to work out real nice. Actually,
I hope it lights nice. Always, whenever I pick something, I'm a glass half empty guy most of the time. So I'm like, this thing's. And when I was looking for housings, I was like, I don't want something too bloody tight. That's going to be stupid. That's why we changed it. And now I've gone, gone for the T4. What is it? 9?
Well, it had an 084 split pulse housing on it, which...
I think it's a 096, this one, T4 open.
Open, yeah. So we went for an open one. Obviously, we're going to have a single exhaust in, so that'll be far better suited.
I've done it before with single pipes into split pulse. Like, it doesn't really matter. I just wanted to loosen it up a tiny bit. Like, it was definitely more catered towards, like, in my eyes, an old school sort of 3-litre size combination, but... The fact that we're not pushing it hard, it probably wouldn't have mattered. But anyway, here we are. It should be good.
Well, the split housing is just a restriction in itself. Once going to the open, we'll just make it flow a bit better.
Yeah. And we've gone a bit bigger there. So it should be good. Got it all mounted up and stuff. I'm real happy with where it is and how it's sitting. So
nice. You've also had a bit of a play with yours, which is something that we didn't really... you didn't film it, but you found some of the air deflectors for the radiator and stuff, trying to combat some of that overheating. Do you think it made a difference?
I think a little bit.
Yeah?
A little bit. I only took it for another short drive, and it was okay. It didn't get hot, but like I said, it was only a short drive.
Right.
Went and visited the in-laws and stuff, so I thought it'd be rude not to get it out. The weather's going to turn on. It's pretty bad here soon. I think coming into winter, so I think it was worth it. It was a nice day, and I thought, why not?
Yeah.
Put the kids and the missus in there and just took it for a
quick squirt.
Yeah. 20 minutes worth of driving or whatever. And it went all right. I forgot to fill it up though, so it was a little bit surgy. I had like this much fuel in the bottom of the tank. So I was like, why is this surging? It's probably the tune up or lack thereof.
Yeah.
But anyway, I found some. The other thing I was talking about was with those injectors, how it's kind of hard to explain. But basically. The injectors I have are a 3/4 length Bosch 1000. I've put the extension on them, and there's no real provision for the rail clip.
Oh, yeah.
So basically the injector can float, and on the Van Group A manifold, it's got a fairly sizable chamfer on the injector boss, the machine boss for it. So the injector can basically move around enough that it will unmask either the top, the top O-ring.
Yeah.
It will unmask it basically and piss fuel everywhere. So, right, for the time being, I've just put O-rings over the body of the injector so that it can't come down.
Right.
But I don't think that's like a good long-term solution. So you can buy, but I'm probably just going to make them because they're in America and I can't be bothered waiting, but probably just machine up some little 3mm spacers just that fit over the body of the injector so that it can't
drop.
Come down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's another thing I need to get done and probably get a shroud on it, even though I don't want to put a really super flat shroud on it. I think I might just put the shroud on and try that fan and put some flaps in it so that when I'm at sort of road speed or highway speed, they sort of open to get some flow through the radiator.
But just reduce your air bleed at low speed.
Yeah, we'll have it so to see if we can, when the fan's pulling on, it's actually... Yeah. Even though it's super close, I'm not convinced that it pulls the entire width of the core, but it has to work better than what it is. So.
Yeah.
And, you know, if that doesn't work, I haven't even checked, like, the amperage draw on the fan or anything like that to make sure we're getting full power. Hmm. Stuff like that. It's just all little stuff, but the wagon's keeping me plenty occupied for now.
I was going to say, we've got a lot of late nights ahead of us with that, and it's going to be nice. I think I had a look on the roster in about a week and a half. Our days off start to line up, so we might actually be able to really push forward with creating some content and getting some more progress on the car, which would be cool.
Yeah, I do want to make a start on the VY as well.
Yep.
Because I think we can just, you know, jump to and fro.
Yep.
Do a bit over there. Break it up, you know, if things start to get a little bit monotonous or whatever.
Or if we're waiting on parts or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yep.
Sweet.
We need a bigger shed, mate. We need a warehouse because the VH will be back before too long. And
yes.
We're going to have no room to stick all these cars.
So. Yeah. I actually went and paid the VH a visit, was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday or the day before. One of them. I don't know. I'm a shift worker, man. I can't remember what day's what.
One of them days.
it's certainly coming along. It's just about ready now for paint, essentially. Like, they've just got to block the engine bay and just, like, the roof and stuff like that and get ready to... The inside of the doors are painted and that, so they've just sort of got to put all the hanging panels back on it and get ready to, block it back and paint it, so...
Yeah.
Getting exciting. It'll be, hopefully not too long.
I can't wait to see it.
Me too. It's because he's got that other VH there, the SS, and that's been painted. Like, he's in the process of reassembling that car now. That gets me really keen for more.
Was that car not as bad as yours, Russ-wise?
No.
Going to say, because that one come through, like, it came in after yours.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Well, I mean, you got to think, with mine, we took the front apron off, we took the sills off, we took the rear quarter panels off. Like, the only thing that's left on my car untouched is the floor pan and the roof.
Mm.
Like, everything else has been fucked with.
Yeah. Whereas, sure was a doozy.
Yeah.
You know how to pick them, Jeff. Yeah,
hey? Even the A-pillars and stuff were all stripped apart because of where that drain is in the like the top cowl plenum sort of thing. So, yeah, that mine needed some deep corrections.
Yeah.
Deep corrections. So, yeah, that SS, they got turned around a fair bit quicker. That was like a farm hack.
Yeah.
But the blokes just sort of pulled it out of the hay shed and gone, oh, I really should start looking after this thing, you know. So now he's gone a full concourse rebuild. But, yeah, and that will be a nice car. Anyhow, we should move on and talk a little bit more about some news.
This week's Hot Topic.
That's hot.
Hot Topic. Should we start with the one that we were just talking about with before we pressed record, or I can talk about something that I haven't mentioned to you yet?
Yeah, do that one.
All right, we'll do that
one. I don't even remember what the other one was, but the second one sounded sexier, so let's do that.
Spicy. Well, I'm about to kill the sexy because it's electric vehicle related, EV stuff.
Yeah.
It was a Rimac Nevera has sort of done the rounds on the internet recently. Went to a test track in Germany. It's got 4 kilometer long straights on it for, you know, testing purposes. Broke 23 records in its testing session. It's a wild, wild bit of kit. I'll bring up some of the specs. Where are we? I don't want to bore you with...
Have you got a picture? Because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I've got a picture. Here's a little picture of it.
Looks good.
It does look good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does look good. It's 1,900 horsepower, 3,600 newton meters. Tell me that ain't redundant.
1,900 horsepower.
1,914 horsepower. Like I say, I won't bore you with all of the records, but a couple of the more notable ones. 0 to 60 mile an hour, 1.74 seconds. 0 to 100 k's an hour, 1.82. So yeah, shit quick. This is gone by. So they did it with two methods of measurement: one Race Logic, one Dewey Soft, which I'm guessing they're like the shit when it comes to this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I'll just go by the Race Logic ones. 8th mile, 5.46 seconds. Quarter mile, 8.26 seconds. Standing mile, 20 seconds, 20.6. That is fairly booking it for a stock standard EV.
Is that like an all-wheel drive dealio?
Yeah, it will be, yeah.
They usually are, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, yeah. One that I found was particularly interesting, 0 to 400 kilometers an hour, back to zero in 29.94 seconds. That's wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
Could you imagine 0 to 400 and then back to nothing in less than 30 seconds? That is insanity. Now, it is going to be a road-going car, and this was done on, I think it was Michelin Cup Sport 2. So they were like, yeah, Michelin Cup 2R, street-legal tyres on a non-prepped asphalt surface with a standard one-foot rollout, which is, you know, normal for these sorts of tests. Yeah. Look, you're probably not going to see one on the road around here anytime soon after the conversion of stuff. You're looking at a cool like 3.4 mil. You'd have to have like Adrian Patelli money, yeah, which is a little bit more than fuck you money.
Yeah.
But I thought that was just wild, man. Like,
it's pretty cool, really.
5,000 pound. It's a heavy girl.
Yeah.
But, I mean, obviously, it's got all that batteries and all that sort of stuff. But to go, like I say, 0 to 400, back to zero in under 30 seconds, that...
Man, those brakes are putting in some work, dude.
Yeah. Aren't those carbon ceramics. They are getting it. But,
That is pretty cool.
It is. Also, speaking of Adrian Patelli, he obviously made the news since our last podcast, putting his $3.5 million McLaren Senna GTR into his $39 million penthouse apartment.
Mm. I've seen so many people commenting on it saying, oh, what are they saying? Like, oh, it needs to be driven. Like, all these people, whatever. And then it's you haven't seen the video, have you, of him cutting nuts in his warehouse somewhere. Like.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, no, it's definitely been driven for sure. It's really a statement piece, though, isn't it? When you just,
of course, yeah,
yeah.
Imagine, especially because you can't drive it on the road over here, anyway. So of course, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, there's one in Perth as well, I believe, an all carbon fiber one. Belongs
with no color on it. Just I'm with you.
Yeah, raw.
Because they're all carbon anyway. Obviously.
That's right. Yeah.
So it's raw, a cup. Yeah, but it's a clear coat carbon,
which
or whatever.
Costs an extra $400,000 from what I read to
from
go
that option.
Yeah,
I wonder if that's because
the carbon has to be.
I was going
to
say, I wonder if that's because their layup and everything has to be like.
Yeah, if you're not.
Although I'm sure it's like world class anyway, but they would be probably real particular with how. They're laying the sheets in and getting things to line up and stuff. For an extra 400 grand, That's the story they get told anyway.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, it was like, if you're not painting over the top of it, it's got to be spot on.
Yeah.
You're going to see every imperfection. So that, that would be a wild car. I've seen, obviously, the apartment that he's got isn't even finished yet. Like, they haven't really even started construction. For the interior of the building, but the renderings look just insane.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane. Moving on from things that we absolutely can't obtain to something else that we probably won't obtain.
That's a long list, mate.
411 cube, torque power, little pore, yes. Holden V8. Just, this is fresh yesterday.
I only seen it this morning. I didn't see it yesterday.
944 horsepower, naturally aspirated. That's the go, isn't it? Obviously, it's not quite as... it's not sort of taken top of the pops. There was... What was his name? Was it Clint Seslick? I'm butchering his name.
No, I can't remember the name.
But that was like a 420 cube something, little pour that went 1,044 horsepower. That's probably... the most powerful Holden V8 I've seen naturally aspirated. I doubt there'd be many more heavy hitting than that.
Yeah.
But 944 horsepower, that's still fairly getting it.
It's... I would love to experience that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, hearing it on the engine dyno and stuff, so it's pretty good, but...
Yeah.
I think, you want to be in it, and I'm not sure what car. I think it's going in Tirana, actually. I think. But that's just me having a wild stab. I don't know those fellas over there, but if it was in something like a Tirana, it'd be pretty amazing.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
That'd mop up a lot of turbocharged combinations, I would assume.
Yeah, yeah. It's
And sound bloody good doing it too.
I was just about to say, and it'd just be a symphony.
There's something about NA power, eh? Like, I've been in a couple of, like... sort of 700-800 horsepower big block Chev stuff in old H series Holdens, and I don't know, there's something about it, it's just so wholesome,
yeah.
And good, you know.
So I can't wait to get mine going. Mine ain't gonna have 900 horsepower though.
No. But it won't need that much either.
No you never probably need that much, true. But you know,
not until you've had 700 horsepower and then you need 800.
Yeah.
And then if you go on 800, you might as well just shoot for 900.
And if you go on a 900, you might as well round it up to 1,000.
Mm.
Yeah, 1,500 sounds
like a good number. I wonder what the sweet spot will be like with yours, because yours is very angry. Yours is essentially a racing engine that you're trying to make it a street car sort of engine, you know?
Yeah. So when that engine was built, it would have been 100% a race engine. But I think now with... how valve train technology has moved and how head porting and stuff like that's moved. We could probably make a couple of minor updates to my combo to make it far more streetable. Obviously, there's plenty of people that do have 700 horsepower, street-driven, naturally aspirated Holden V8s. Although, in saying that, some of these are 700 horsepower and then they run like 11 flat at the quarter. Yep. So, is it really 700? No, it's not accelerating. Like, and that's the thing. We've said it 100 times, but dyno numbers mean 5/8 of fuck all. You know, like the mile an hour and ET is the real dyno. And if it's one thing to make 800 horsepower on the dyno or 900 or 1,000, whatever. But if you can't get it out of the hole, if you can't get it to accelerate off the line, then you've just got a roll racing car, which is great for Pride. Yeah.
And even then,
Pride
like,
Festival or something.
Depending on what sort of car you have, like I know with like my mate Baz that has the big block, he had a 540 in his HJU and like that could only go, he got that into the 10 something, but it was his stock's like suspension after that, like he just couldn't do any more with that suspension. So I think he's gone to a Gazzard setup now, and he's got a 632 in it now and stuff like that. So like, yeah, you can only do so much with a chassis in standard form before all the rest of that power's no good anyway. But that's not to say it's not fun burning the tires off with that extra power that you can't use, you know, to be fair.
Very true. Yeah. Nah. I think there's another Holden V8 engine that's sort of copping a little bit of, I'd say, what's the word? Implied attention online. People are sort of making some posts about it without sort of filling in the details, but there's a billet block 400 cube naturally aspirated Holden V8 that's in the build, and I've sort of seen some people who supplied parts for it who have posted saying like, oh, this is for a billet Holden, but we don't know any of the details. And I almost think I prefer it that way, honestly. I think that little bit of that bit of mystery is exciting, and I think when the details do finally come to light, when the engine's ready, I think that's going to be something to be beholded. Yeah, at the moment we don't know anything. I really want to talk about it more, but I just don't know what to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, a billet block, naturally aspirated. You got to think that if that's not making 900 odd horsepower, then it was a waste of time.
Just depends though. It could be going in a showpiece that's, you know, you look in the engine bay and you've got a completely billet engine, or weight factors. I'm not sure what the billet blocks weigh exactly, but I'm sure they're lighter than like a cast iron dealio.
Yeah, you'd think so.
So, you know, there's weight to consider, and if you've got the money, and like, why not, really? It's not like you need to justify. It's not like you've got to go to some modified car commission and just justify that, you're getting a billet block which can handle, you know, 3,000 plus horsepower, but you're only going to make 1,000, like...
Stand in front of the tribunal. And...
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, the Facebook tribunal.
Yeah. Well, that'd be an interesting one, because you'd have half of the jury saying, yeah, you go, and then the other half going, my mate did faster on a stock block with two bolt mains and rusty fucking B-cast heads.
All the fruit.
three-quarter race cam.
Yeah, all the fruit. So, no, it's a good time anyway to be a Holden V8 guy.
I think so, yeah.
Or to be any sort of this. There's definitely a trend, I think, going back the other way. People are starting to take the path less trodden, I think.
Yeah.
Just like, it's always that way, isn't it? That's what our egos do. Once so many people have mastered something a certain way, you're like, all right, I want to do something this way.
Mm.
Yeah. All right, I'm sick of this. This is, you know, every man and his dog's doing this. I'm going to do something else. So
it's
just how it is. And that's good.
Yeah. Well, it's like I say... Well, like you said, sorry, it's good for us that there are people who are starting to push the boundaries with the Holden V8 again, because that sort of stuff can then trickle down to the rest of us.
Mm.
You know, like I say, my engine, when it was first built, people would be like, oh, you can't drive that on the street. You just wouldn't be able to, you know, blah, blah, blah. There'd be all these opinions about it. But now there's more and more people that are doing it.
Yeah.
You know, making that power, doing it reliably, driving them on the street. You know, they've got 6,000 odd RPM high stalls in them, but you can still drive them because converter technology's moved, valve train technology's moved, fuel technology's moved, you know, like everything is just so far advanced now from what it was. and it's a good time to be alive. Yeah.
I love, like, I just thought then, have you seen that Dean G's VK, the brownie sort of bronzy VK, and it's got like a real, it's got a Spastic Atmo LS combo in it. Sounds so good. Like, I can't remember where I seen the video. It's on one of the, can't remember what channel it was on YouTube, but it's a sick car. It's from, I don't know the guy, but yeah. He's got a Dean G Fabrications, which is an awesome fabricator as well. And you would think, you know, being a fabby, you'd be like, yeah, you'd fab up his own turbo kit or this or that, but it's a sick, like, LS Atmo combo. It makes really good power. Like,
was it Atmo, I enjoy, or was it nitrous?
Oh, I might, I think, have nitrous, I saw, on it as well.
If it's the one, it's, I'm still thinking of, it was a, yeah, it was a brown VK. It was on a hub dyno. I think it was on the Skid Factory's latest video from Motorex.
I'm not sure.
There was a, I think there was a brown VK that made really good power, but I think it did have a nitrous kit on it.
Oh, I might have had a kit on it, but it's still, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
It, yeah, sounded good. And, yeah, like, I like seeing stuff like that now. You'll see, like a new set of Higgins heads that they've come up with the split manifolds and stuff like that. Like, I'd rather see that,
yeah,
than, you know, we've spent years and years looking at LS fast manifolds and turbos, or the, even the billet manifolds or whatever. It's nice to see something a bit different.
Yeah, yeah.
Breaking the boundaries.
Yeah, and running fast as well. That's what we're all about. As long as you're burning fuel, burning tyres, and burning down the scoreboards at the end of the track, that's what you're chasing.
As long as you're having fun.
That's right, that's right. That's like I say to my son when he goes to BMX, look, there's no danger of him being super competitive because he ain't going to win. You know, I love my boy to death. He's my little man, but he uses it as a social outing. He's not competitive enough for it, but I just tell him, as long as you're having fun, bud, and he has the best time, coming last every race.
Yeah. But yeah, no, that's what you got to spread that message, don't you?
Absolutely.
If you're not having fun, don't do it.
No. And you see, honestly, you're seeing that more and more now through some of the drag racing groups. You're seeing people with these high-dollar drag cars that are selling them because they're just getting out of it.
Yeah.
They're not having fun anymore.
Yeah.
So, hopefully.
Yeah, things are getting a little bit more expensive in that regard. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, well, it depends on what you're trying to do as well. I think that's why the some of the more streetcar-y type classes are really starting to pop off, and the more professional, let's say group one racing and stuff is certainly lagging, but there's heaps of cars lining up for super sedan.
Yeah.
You know? So,
speaking of classes, can I just butt in real quick? I see you're about to transition. Say there was going to be like an event over here on a less than perfect surface, like a
no prep style,
like no prep or something like that. Like say up at Collie, for instance.
Yeah.
What do you reckon a good, like, couple of classes would be for a first event to take off if someone was interested? Do you go off tight?
I was going to say, you've got a couple of schools of thinking. So you can do the, like, small block aspirated, big block aspirated, say, small block power adder sort of style like they have for drag week and that, or you could do like 235, 255, 275.
I think being my thing is because you're kind of going to be racing the surface really for the most part,
yeah,
like does it really, you can bring whatever pat, like whatever big block, small block, turbo, six cylinder, whatever, but probably not really gonna be much of an advantage or disadvantage as opposed to the tire that you need to use to get it down.
Yeah.
And like as a first event, you're probably not going to want to have like a million classes. You want to try and keep it simple.
Yeah. Yeah, so you just have a small tire, big tire. Well,
there probably wouldn't be any big tires. Maybe like you a don't street think? Tire.
Well, I mean, if you're coming to a no prep sort of thing.
In Australia, in Collie.
Yeah, I understand. But whether it's Collie, Airstrip, whatever, if you're holding a no prep type event,
my apologies.
Fine. If you're holding a no prep type of event, you're thinking that people wouldn't roll up with, you know, they would come if they've got the car to facilitate.
First event, like,
it doesn't matter. First event, 10th event, whatever. If you market it well, the same people are going to rock up, and if there's sponsors and prize money or whatever to offer. Some people with gangster cars are going to want to come just to support. You know what I mean? So if your car is able to fit, say, a 31-inch tall, slick you know, like a 31 by 12 or whatever. Obviously, if you've got a car like that, you're going to go to win, right? So you're not going to go on a 275 radial just because you think that it's the first event and that's what other people are going to go with. You're going to rock up on a 31-inch slick.
Yeah. It's just whether you can market it to get those sorts of people there.
Like, yeah.
On a less than good track. Because the other thing is, cars that are like that, they don't want to get chewed up by the guy next to them that can't drive, that's trying to win and, you know, tear your shit up, as they call it, or whatever. So, like, you know.
Yeah. I think, the tires, like I say, there's two schools of thought. You can either cut the car down the middle and you can either limit them from the firewall forward, or you can limit them from the tail housing back, you know. But, yeah. It's something to do some thinking about. If we were to get an event of our own off the ground one day, I've had daydreams of running a something, you know, like you meet up 50 Ks from the track and you roll up there with exactly how you run on the street. You're not changing tyres. You can drain your fuel out and put fuel in if you carried it in the car. But it's like you don't change tyres or anything. You just roll up and you run what you brung and hope you're broad enough.
Mm.
But, yeah. That would be something to think about, to what classes and things.
Yeah, I just got asked, that's all. And I thought, well, I'll ask you because you're right on all that stuff. You're definitely more event orientated and stuff like that. But, yeah, I would have thought just picking a couple of different tyre sizes and then just letting people just go wild, you know, like try and get as many people as you can there.
Yeah. If I had more time to actually think about it, I'd probably give you a more half-decent answer. But
yeah. We'll come back to that. If anyone else has some good ideas, send us a message.
Absolutely.
I'll pass it on.
If you got some cool ideas for an event, a no-prep style event or whatever.
Mm. One that could possibly be paying $5,000 for the winner of one class.
Mm. Hot topic.
Let us know.
Give us a voicemail.
We might pass it on.
That's it. Give us a voicemail. You can do that. Talkhub.com.au. Press the red button. Move on to the next subject.
Marketplace morons.
Tell him he's dreaming.
Now, when we started this podcast, Kurt, I thought we would have an endless supply of content for marketplace morons because it just seemed to be a thing that was really popping off at the time and had been for a while. But since we've started the podcast, it's like Murphy's Law now. We don't really have much to talk about with marketplace morons.
Yeah.
I'm almost thinking about not scrapping the segment altogether, but maybe only bringing it in if we've really got something juicy to get on with. And we might have to come up with a slightly better segment. Maybe like, I was thinking, we've talked about some nostalgic pieces in past podcasts, so maybe we could like start a Blast from the Past segment or something.
Yeah.
But
that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. But I have noticed, and you've been sending it to me, and everyone's been tagging me and things, lots and lots of VHs coming up for sale lately.
Mm.
Some of them have been sandblasted and primed for cents on the dollar. Some of them have been very nicely restored. Some of them have been restored at some point to questionable results. But all of them are fetching good money.
Yeah, in comparison to what it costs to do it from scratch, though.
Yes, yeah. Which, once again, we always tease the subject, but I'm not going to breach it until I get the car back and I can give you all the juicy details. But this is a conversation that I had with Simon, though, when I went to visit my car the other day. Obviously, he's specialised in H-Series Holdens and, you know, your X-Series Falcons for a fairly long time now. But are we starting to see the time where all of the ones that were worth restoring or, you know, were good bases, are they starting to dry up? Are all the shit ones being parked cars already? The good ones are being restored? Because we're starting to see more and more inquiries on his end for your later model, what would say Commodores. So let's say first generation Commodores, which to him is a late model car.
It kind of is to me as well. Yeah. Not first gen, but second generation aren't old cars to me.
No, no. But even, like first gen to him, that's like, you know, the typical old boy.
It's Commodore,
yeah. Yeah, it's Commodore. It's not a real car. and the Falcons of the similar era, they're the ones that are starting to come through. And I think that's starting to be a reflection in marketplace at the moment, is that we're seeing a lot of those that are either starting to be restored and then people are losing interest in selling them, or people are, you know, actually seeking these cars. Because I guess you and I, we're probably not going to be as invested in a HT, HK, H, as much as we'd love one.
Mm.
There's not the same nostalgic value for us in those cars as there is, say, a VH, an XD, because they were more the...
They were still around, yeah.
Yeah, they were the cars were that we grew up with.
First cars of friends or of ourselves or whatever.
Yeah.
It's the same with, like, yeah, VLs especially.
Yeah.
VNs and even VRs, I guess, really.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, when we were all getting our first cars, sort of VN to VR and probably ED to EL, they were sort of the cars that were at that sort of point in time where they were
cheap,
but not too far fucked.
Yeah, cheap and reliable.
Yeah, because that's
which is what you want.
Mum and dad, they want you in a safe car that's reliable. It's not going to cost you a fortune, and then we get in it and we thrash the piss out of it, and then we make it unreliable.
Yeah, yeah. Mum didn't even want to sell this one to me because it was a V8. Like, oh, you're not getting a V8 for your first car. And I was already an apprentice making my own money at that point. So I said, well, you either sell me that one or I'm just going to go and buy another one. So,
yeah.
And I'm glad that she did, because another guy did nearly come and buy it. He came and looked at it, and I think I went for a drive with him. I was like, yeah, I kind of want this car. And he never bought it. So it was, I feel lucky that I managed to keep it in the family
Long as
I have. So, yeah. Because back then I didn't really care as, like, I wanted it, but I didn't, it was still more or less just a car that was there that I liked.
Well, if you're 16 years old, I guess when you come of age, when you get a bit older, and now that you've got kids of your own and stuff like that, I guess that's really, there's something that happens when you have children that flicks a switch in your brain, I swear, and all of these emotions and stuff that you've never really felt before come to the surface, you know what I mean? And that's when all this nostalgia, and that's when all of this, like, particularly for you with your old man and stuff, like all of these, you know, attachment and sentiment really becomes a thing.
Mm.
Do you agree?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. So I'm glad I kept it anyway.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. We've got a bird in the shed.
Ow.
Don't attacked. Tell me, missus, there's another bird in the shed.
Excuse me, sir.
Wow.
Do you realise we're trying to record a podcast? We might just take a pause for the cause and we'll chase him out of here.
Yeah, all right.
All right. The old dive bomber is gone. Get out of here, you mongrel.
Do you want to lift your... There we go.
Lovely.
Well, that was easy.
Yeah, a little squirty bottle. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. This isn't a marketplace moron, obviously, but it'll be interesting to see the landscape of marketplace moving forward for that kind of thing.
Yeah, I've definitely noticed things, more toys getting put up. Times are getting tougher.
Yeah.
Definitely the higher end stuff at the minute is popping up, but yeah, if you've got some money in your hot rocket, I reckon another 6 or 12 months there will be bargains to have.
That's it. If you're looking for something a little bit special, there'll probably be something popping up.
Yeah. It's definitely easier to buy something that's not rooted. But in saying that, you never know. Like that one we seen the other day that had a little bit of rust popping through that had been restored 2 years earlier. Like,
well, yeah.
That can happen to you.
Yeah.
You know? You could have saved half your money, Jeff, but then had that happen.
Exactly,
you
know, yeah.
Unless you'd really have to do your homework at that point.
See, that car was around 50 grand as well. It was like, it was a nice car in that
it was good from far. It had good shit, though.
I was going to say, it was a nice car in that it had nice parts and it had some good work sort of
had
done
all the
on
things,
it.
All the things that you want.
Yeah, but then to see whoever painted it did a pretty B-grade job, and to have some rust coming through and stuff, yeah. Like, when you have a car like that, you dig into, say, a 50-cent piece of rust And you think, yeah, we'll just do a little spot repair here. But then when you dig in, before you know it, half the rear quarter's gone.
Yeah. If you've got stuff coming through the paint.
Yeah. I've seen that happen at Simon's. There was a dude who had like a, I think I might have said it on the podcast before, but he had like a Valiant Charger. Same thing. Bought it. Really nice car. It had been done by someone a couple of years previous or whatever. Had a small rust bubble in the rear quarter. And then by the time Simon got in there, it's like, cut that bit out. Still a bit more cut, a bit more out, cut a bit more out. It got to the point where he just took a photo, sent it to the owner and said, tell me when you want me to stop cutting. You know, like,
yeah.
When do you want me to stop?
Whenever, I've always been that person that when you're reading ads or whatever and someone says, like, a little bit of rust bubbling on the window or wherever, it's usually around the window or whatever, I'm just like, straight away. Unless you're interested in stripping something down and starting again, once you're at that stage, it's not just going to be one little bit. Like, it's never going to be one little bit. If you can see it coming through the paint, there's going to be shitloads that you can't see.
I feel like my car was pretty honest for the most part, and even that.
Yeah, your car was honest. It was like, I'm fucked, all right? completely fucked, but here I am.
But even then, there was still more.
Yeah.
You know, even then, there was still more. Yeah. So that is a thing. But that's the silly games we play.
it'll be worth it, or at least you hope so.
Absolutely. Alrighty, Lasse, if you've got an idea for another segment, Lasse, I think Blast from the Past, something that's a little bit nostalgic, I think that one might be a good one where we could bring on like one subject each podcast or whatever. But if you guys have got any cool suggestions for a segment, something that you'd like to hear us yarn about or whatever, let us know. Drop us a voicemail.
You know what really grinds my gears? Running on the chip.
On the chip, baby. You got a rant for me, K-Fizzy?
Nah, nothing off the top of my head, I don't think.
Nah?
Like I said, if you've got something, that'll remind me of something. I've always got something that'll piss me off, but whether I can think of it or not.
Yeah, you end up kind of putting yourself on the spot when it comes to these podcasts sometimes, don't you?
Yeah, you've really got on the standouts at that point. You're thinking what stands out to you that pisses you off. And I haven't got anything right now.
Do you know what pisses me off? Flights. Having just done this sweet little adventure to Rockhampton and back, there's four planes, you know, one from Perth to Brisbane, Brisbane to Rockhampton, and then the same on the way back. I'm not built for some of these planes. In fact, the smaller regional plane from Brisbane to Rockhampton was probably more comfortable than the plane from Perth to Brisbane. Why Qantas don't use an Airbus for that flight, which is like 5 odd hours? They use an Airbus for a shorter flight to Bali, but they won't use an Airbus for that. If you can't see on the videos or if you're listening for the first time, I'm a bit over 6 foot tall and I'm like 110, 115 kilos. You know, like, I'm not a petite framed man. I am a full figured boy. And you're just wedged in. Because I got a middle seat both ways.
Of course you did.
You didn't get a window. You don't get an aisle. An aisle is ideal for me because I can sort of stick a leg out to the side. You can't really do that on a window. But sitting in the middle, you kind of bolt upright because they've just put as many seats in that plane as they could fit. My ass is wedged into the, you know, the crook of the chair. My knees are wedged against the back of the seat in front of me. And then you've always got that one fuckhead. Even though they can feel your knee in the back of their chair, they're going to put that backrest back anyway.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yep, that's me. I'm here for 5 odd hours. Unbelievable. Why can't they just put a, you know, an Airbus on it on a longer haul flight? If it's a short flight, whatever. You know, it is what it is. You're not there for that long. Just suck it up. Who cares?
It'd have to be like a cost thing, surely. Like, maybe they use heaps more fuel and
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But with the Qantas app, I was going to bid for business class on the way home, and it's morally I wasn't going to out of principle because it's like all they're trying to do is if there's a spare business class seat, they're just going to milk an extra couple of hundred bucks out of you and fill that seat rather than have you in the back. So I did bid for it. I didn't get it. It was a sold out flight, whatever. But I don't know. It's just a real pain in the neck. And there's no recourse for them on flight delays really either. That's another thing. So the dude that I traveled over there with, he was actually from Geraldton. On the way home, we had two delays getting out of Brisbane. By the time we finally got on the plane, it was still kind of dirty because they didn't have time to clean it, essentially. Like, they just picked up the loose rubbish and shoved us back on, and away you go. He ended up missing his connecting flight back home to Geraldton. So what's the go there, you know? Yeah, they put him up in a hotel for the night and put him on a flight the next morning, but he's missed out on another day with his family due to that. I don't know. Just the whole airline system feels like it needs a revamp.
It won't get one.
No, it won't get one. I will say one thing, though. The Wi-Fi on planes was a good thing. I've been on some more economy flights, say with Jetstar and stuff like that, where you don't get that. And having the Wi-Fi, even though I was wedged into my fucking little shitty little seat and I had a person either side of me that was bumping my elbows and whatever.
You got to zone out.
I got to pop my earbuds in, put a podcast on, or watch some YouTube or whatever. So yeah, Wi-Fi definitely was the savior. Shout out to Wi-Fi.
You're the real MVP.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. It's crazy how Wi-Fi is such a big part of our life now. And for something like that, we say it, you know, as parents now, it's like, oh, we didn't have a tablet or this and that to watch when you went on a long journey. But it's something that's more or less a staple for the children on a road trip these days. And although I'd say, yeah, no, you know, I wouldn't let my kid rely on it for a road trip or whatever, here's me on the plane fucking buried into my phone for the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm the worst. Getting that scroll hole, eh?
Yeah. But, you know, I was also trying to, you know, do some content stuff or whatever. I had best intentions while I was in Rockhampton of editing some more content and getting that up. But, you know, I had crocodilies to chase and cane toads to lick and didn't find any of them.
No.
But, you know, it's the pursuit of happiness, man. That's what I was after.
So that's your gripe anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Airlines. Airlines got my goat this month.
Yeah.
And, you know, thankfully I'm not a rich man, so I don't have to worry about flying too often. But,
and if you were, you'd just go business anyway, wouldn't you?
If you were a rich man, yeah. Or, you know, if you had Patelli money, you'd just private jet it.
Mm.
Yeah. They'd have all the room. But anyway. That's, I feel like we're getting after like real big Australian businesses. What was it last time? Auspost. Auspost was one. Now I'm getting after Qantas. You're
just pissing off all our potential sponsors.
Big
mate.
Four banks are next. That's
Oh, yeah. You know what grinds my gears? Interest rates.
We could almost go there. We could almost go there this month, but we're just going to leave that one. Let it go through to the keeper. This is fast becoming one of my favourite segments. It was a little bit slow going to start with, but we're getting a few punters coming through.
Yeah, it's easily my favourite. It blows out, though. We'll try and just like whip through them a bit quicker.
I nearly put the call out yesterday to say that we were going to be recording a podcast today and like, oh, here's your last chance to get in a voicemail for this podcast. But then I checked. We got four in the inbox, and I think four of them, if you spend, you know, 5-10 minutes on each, that just fills out the episode nicely. Yep. If you start going more than that, then it blows out.
Yeah, definitely drags on a bit.
So got a couple on. We'll kick it off with the first one, eh?
Hey, fellas. Just watched the latest podcast. Good stuff. Keen to hear about what cars you guys had growing up and that. And maybe what do you reckon of today's youth and the cars that they've got to do up or not do up and, you know, not being any Falcons or Commies anymore. And maybe touch on that a bit. Love the show. I'm WA boy as well. Had a couple 5 litres and, yeah, keep chucking out good content. Cheers.
Thank you, fellow sand groper.
Yeah, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, that's like I would say, that'll probably be a topic that we'll cover on a future podcast, is the cars that we sort of had growing up and whatever. But
yeah, nothing too exciting, really, to be fair.
The cars that, say, our kids are going to have to do up in the future with not much going on, that is an interesting subject. And I feel like it's maybe up to us, in a sense, to ensure that we be the caretakers. You know, if you've got room, and I understand most people don't, but if you've got room and you've got something that you think would be a good little project for, say, your sons, you're probably not that far off, actually.
Yeah, I've started thinking about it.
When your son's sort of 10, 11, 12, you think, if I've got the room and I can just grab a car and stick it in the backyard and it'll be something that we get to and work on together, I think that's really going to be the key to cultivating and keeping the dream alive, I guess, you know, in a sense. So if you find, it depends on what your son or daughter's going to be into at the time as well. They might break your heart and want to do a little rotary RX-7 or something like that, which I know you're not into.
I'm not into it, but I don't dislike them. It's not something I'll do, but that's right. It's a tricky one, isn't it, really?
Yeah. So I think, that's for, if your child, or if you're listening to this, then you're obviously into cars, so it's not that big of a deal. But let's say you had a child growing up and the parents weren't an automotive influence. You know, like say the kid's grown up and they gravitate towards it, but it's not really your thing. That they're the ones that are probably going to miss out, or they're not going to have the same platform to jump from. For our sons are probably pretty lucky in that, I mean, that obviously they're lucky that they got us as parents anyway, right? But they're going to be lucky that they've got us as parents. And if they wanted to do that, then we would be very nurturing towards it, and we'd help them find a car and we'd store it and restore it as well, you know, modify it together. So I think that's, moving forward, that's probably what the future generations will need to probably rely on.
There's plenty of cars out there. You just got to try and get the right one that's not going to be too intensive with the amount of work, I guess. I guess it depends how much time you have, how much spare time you have.
And you got to pick your timing as well. If you can see that they're gravitating towards one particular type of car, you want to sort of pick their time in their lifespan where they do get to that low price before they become desirable again. And then they can be the lucky one. Say 10 years ago, or it'd be even more than that now, probably like 15 years ago, when you could buy a nice, say, Premier, you know, or Kingswood or whatever at a reasonable price. Now they're worth crazy money. People just want them for whatever. So it'd be the same sort of thing. Let's say, for instance, you can still buy a VR VS Commodore for $3,000 or $4,000. It'd be a six banger or whatever, but you could always put the V8 in it later. Where do you think that'd go for you? Obviously, like I say, your young fella, he's won't be too long and he'll be like 11, 12 years old and you'll be starting to get that going. My kids are a bit younger than yours.
Yeah. I think he reckons he wants to do a ute of some sort. You've got to take the reins a little bit, you just got to get something that they don't hate, I think.
Yeah.
Something that you know is going to be, first of all, you can see it through. You can afford to see it through. You're going to have enough time and patience to see it through, you know. Mm. Start off easy, really, I think. And then you can, because that's what I wish I did with my car, instead of just pulling it all apart, even though I haven't done heaps and heaps of work to it. Like,
here's one thing you can teach him to pick his battles.
Yeah, just keep it sort of together and just pick the easy wins. Mm. But yeah, I think is you just stick to something that they don't mind. Or whatever, they're not necessarily, because you don't really know what you like for the most part, especially when you're that age.
Nah. Like we've said before, we're lucky we didn't have a bunch of money when we were young, because we would have some ugly cars.
Yeah. But yeah, I've definitely started flirting with the idea. I've mentioned it a couple of times, but yeah, I reckon I've still got another little bit of time. But
A ute's probably not a terrible option either, because when you're a young fella and you're young, dumb and full of calm, you just want to get in there and beat up on something. When you've got a larger captive audience, things do get a little bit hairy. Yeah. So having a ute probably isn't a terrible idea, because you've only got that one person next to you. Mm. Unless you're, you know, in downtown Mexico and you got the streets lined, and then, well, you know,
yeah,
you're in the jungle at that point.
Because I think a lot of the younger, the youth now, like the juke, like the four drives is sort of what I've noticed is what a lot of the young people are driving now. So, and that's going to influence what your kids want to do as well. Like, they're not going to want to do up any sort of like street sort of hot rod if all their mates are got four drives and they're going camping and fishing and all whatever.
It's a couple of the guys that I work with, they got like teenage daughters, and apparently they really get after the young hot boys that have got like a D40 Navara.
Yeah, exactly.
Like when we were young, obviously the girlies, they liked the street cars, you know, and because that was just on the end of the auto salon era, I guess, was sort of when we were doing it. And, you know, that was kind of the cultural thing. But now, I don't know, tradies have really sort of...
Yeah, well, all those sort of cars back then, like you think of all those four drives and stuff that were attainable, they were pieces of shit. Like,
yeah, they were.
Like as far as creature comforts or just being like pleasurable to drive,
yeah,
that was not a thing, you know, whereas they've worked hard to try and make them a little bit nicer.
And I think back to when we were that age, and most of those sorts of utes were all single cabs. A dual cab wasn't really the norm. Now, all of a sudden, the dual cab is the norm because everyone's putting their family in it.
Mm.
It's there's been a cultural shift.
I guess the other thing I never thought of is that's what everyone's buying these days. People aren't buying your Falcons and Commodores, so therefore they're not on the secondhand market to buy at a reduced price. So like that's all everyone has now. Everyone's got a dual cab or a friggin' wagon four drive. So I never really thought that's probably more to the point of what it is. You sort of just get what mum and dad are cruising around in.
So what you're saying is we're going to be building a compound turbo billet crank 4JJ1 for your son's first car? Or?
Yeah, in a Gemini.
Gemini panel van. That'd be sick. All right, mate. Thanks for the call, bud.
Yeah, cheers.
Appreciate it.
Who was that, Jamie?
Jamie, yeah.
Yeah, cheers, Jamie.
Hey, boys. Long time listener, first time caller.
I know this was.
Cheers for the invite to try the G-Ups. Looks like the red ones are a goer. Just chuck a couple of them aside for me. Also, a little bit disappointed you didn't snorkel one. Really let me down there. Just wanted to say I'm loving the new backdrop on the potty there. Wagon's looking pretty sweet. And definitely think new merch is a good idea. Some beanies for winter would be pretty sweet. I'll happily rep a white shirt as well. Anyway, just wanted to say keep up the good work, fellas, and keep doing what you're doing. Love your boy, the OG, Caden.
The OG. That is a pretty good backdrop. We're very thankful that you've given us the opportunity to molest it. We're going to make it better, though. We're going to make it better.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, Caden came around for a bit of a pre-start meeting, and we sort of sampled a few of the G-ups and sort of talked about what we're going to do with his car, and he sort of smiled and nodded nervously.
No, not really.
He's excited. He's keen. Yeah, new merch, that's something we've talked about a lot, and we haven't made too many moves on it because we've been too busy. But beanies we tried to make happen last winter, truth be told, and we couldn't find the right fit. You know, we were kind of conflicted. Do you have, you know, like the mid-2000s skater style beanie without the fold-up, or do you get like the fold-up type beanie? And then do you embroider it, or do we put a patch on it? Or, you know, there's... When we're doing merch, because we're both quite fussy, Kurt is very particular on the vision that he has in his mind, and I'm very fussy for quality and scaling as well. So we're our own worst enemy, essentially, is what
Definitely.
I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
But we did try to do beanies last year, and the patches that we ordered came out the wrong color, and it was just a nasty color clash. And we almost just pulled the trigger on it anyway, and we thought, screw it, we'd just get them and get them out there because you can't sell something that you don't have. But we just couldn't bring ourselves to do it. We weren't going to put out a second-rate product, so we just binned it.
Yeah, nothing is on the website that we wouldn't wear.
Exactly.
I'll look at that and go, nah, that's fucking shit. I'm not wearing that.
And we've drawn some other designs for shirts and stuff like that. And because we're not digital artists, you know, it doesn't come out fantastic. We've got a couple of good concepts. We've got some really good merch concepts. But what we probably really need is some assistance in the graphic design. We can sort of sketch it down on a napkin, like, here's the kind of thing that we want, but what we need is someone that's really proficient in that they can digitize it and make it a vector file so that we can then use that for screen printing or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but you're right. We do need more merch. We have been lazy and we do apologize. Although we do have plenty of hoodies. Winter is here. It was -2 degrees down the road at Boddington last night.
It was so cold yesterday.
It was cold AF. So if you are feeling the winter chills, don't wait until the cold gets you. www.talkhub.com.au. Get yourself a hoodie. We will send it out ASAP.
What else was there in that? That was it for that one, wasn't it?
Yeah, just...
The wagon's coming along. Yeah. It's coming along. Hopefully we'll get a video out soon.
He just wanted to make sure that we're putting aside some of those raspberry G apps for him.
Yeah, the best flavoured ones.
Nah,
the best
there's only one. Cotton candy for you, bud. Carla cotton candies. But yeah, once our days off line up a bit better, we'll have to get him around here. Hopefully we'll have made some more progress on the car by then, which would be exciting for him as well.
Yeah.
Be able to check that out. Righto, moving up.
Yeah, g'day, boys. Just AO here from the Never Late podcast. Loving your work. I reckon you boys should probably come on and join us for a chat and run through Street Machine Mag. We have had Big Boris Viskovic from over in WA join us before, so we can make the time zones work. But, yeah, just reach out if you want to jump on. Cheers.
Cheers, AO. Never Late Podcast. Now, I know you're not a real big podcast dude. Have you listened to the Never Late Podcast before?
No, I don't think so. But I will check it out now.
Yeah.
If I get a chance.
I've dabbled. Go through a bit of a story, I guess, on the history of the Never Late Podcast. When I first started listening to podcasts, driving trains, the same Spotify playlist was getting pretty old, and that's when podcast became a thing for me, and it was an absolute game changer. If you're a truck driver, or you know, if you're on the road or traveling for long periods of time, honestly, podcasts are a frigging game changer. And I started getting into what was the first original Australian streetcar podcast, which was the Thong Slappers. And the Thong Slappers was Simon and Redman. They were actually, you know, members of staff for magazines like Street Machine and Australian Dirt Bike, and you know, like they've been on staff for that sort of thing. And their thing was doing reviews of current and past Street Machine magazines.
They
sort of
got,
yeah, they had like their own sort of format and layout where they would do reviews of the magazine, which was pretty cool. And they talk about, you know, hot rodding and custom cars. Their stuff was sort of like, their era, I guess, was the 80s, you know, like the real wild sort of custom cars and stuff, you know, like putting VK.
The real WTF era, hey?
Yeah, like putting VK tail lights on an FJ Holden and shit like that, you know. That was kind of their bag. That kind of winded up. And then these two fellas, AO and Moses, they, I guess, they were passionate about the Thong Slappers and what they were doing, and they wanted to fill the gap in the market. So with the blessing of Simon and Redman, they kind of grabbed the ball and ran with it in their own way as well. It wasn't like a carbon copy, but you know, they do reviews on Street Machine magazine and older issues as well. And there are a couple of boys based in Ballarat and Victoria, and they get into, I guess, the custom car for the everyman. You know, it's not necessarily the bloke that has $100,000 to spend on a Street Machine or a Motorex, you know, entrant, but it's old mate that maybe has a $25,000 Kingswood or an old Chevy or, you know, something like that, an El Camino, and they customize it, and you know that they're right into that custom streetcar thing, just like I say, for the everyman.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty cool podcast. I've, you know, it's one that I generally listen to if I'm mowing the lawn. That's actually one of my go-tos if I'm mowing the lawn and stuff like that. I'll bang on the Never Late podcast. I'm not totally up to date with it, I will be honest. Sorry, AO. But yeah, it is one that I have dabbled in. And yeah, never know. We might be able to make something happen.
Yeah, for sure.
It's something that we've talked about is, you know, going through some Australian print media stuff as a subject here. So if that's something we can collaborate on, then hell yeah, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I've got so many. I've got heaps of Street Machine, but like definitely heaps of Street Commodores and stuff. Mm. And I want to just look. I don't know if you call it a review, but just reminisce really, and just be like, look, this is what was the shit back in, you know, 2005 or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
You know, because there was some, there's always been good quality stuff the whole way through, really.
Yeah.
And just things, just trends change.
Just on a side note, I guess we both know, I think we all know that tall poppy syndrome is alive and well in Australia. And particularly when it comes to content creators, I've sort of noticed within the scene, I guess we'll call it, you know, some people like to be gatekeepers of their content and, you know, they don't really want to be involved with anyone else. And for whatever reason, whether they think that someone's going to be riding on their coattails or stealing their ideas or whatever, it's just good to see that, like, having spent, you know, a week and a half ago hanging out with Kieran and now having AO contact us and stuff like that, it's great to see that there are dudes who do want to interact with other content creators and, you know, like, be together. And a rising tide floats all boats. You know, like if we can all do good together, then it's only going to do great things for the Australian automotive content creation game as a whole.
Yeah.
You know, rather than just trying to, like I say, gatekeep and try and stand out on your own, which is, I mean, some people are very successful at what they do and they don't want to share the limelight, which is fine. And I'm not talking about anyone in particular. I actually think that for the most part, most of the Australian content creators are actually very good.
Yeah, like I've heard someone talk about it before. There's got to be something in it for both people, usually, with the amount of work, like, you know, how much work's involved in.
It's got to be mutually beneficial.
In doing the video or the podcast or whatever. You know, like some people are just going to reach out that maybe don't have much of a viewer base or whatever, try and get on to sort of, you know, obviously there's going to be some transfer there, which is good, but if there's not much to be gained, if you're going to be doing all the work and really just sharing your viewer base, you know, sometimes the juice isn't worth the squeeze, maybe. We don't have that thought pattern because we're only really small, but
yeah,
we'll do whatever with whoever if it's, you know, if we're interested, but you can, that's probably where some people are coming from as well, maybe.
Yeah. No, like I say, I think for the most part, you know, even some of the big players on the platform, you know what I mean? Like, let's say, for instance, the Skid Factory. Those guys, particularly of late, they're certainly not one to shy away from shouting out whoever. You know, like, if they enjoy the content or they use information from them, then they will give them the credit that they deserve, which I think is a stand-up move for guys like those.
Yeah, you know, it is the Australian way, though, and it's not hard to bloody give someone a friggin'...
But I mean, at that point, their content creation is literally what's paying their bills. That is how they breadwin, you know. Mm. So for them to want to share any sort of limelight or, you know, talk highly of anyone, and I've heard them, you know, they've given us a shout out before, hell. But, you know, like Hack Shop Garage, and they sort of cameo appearance by the Full Boost Boys on their latest video and stuff like that. I think it's great how we're all sort of coming together and mixing definitely. It up.
Yeah.
I do enjoy it. So thanks for reaching out, AO. We'll
we'll definitely look at doing something like that in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Cheers, man.
Hey guys, it's Gav here. I came across your channel on YouTube after doing Motivation 37, the last one, and having a look at your day two video. Was featured about halfway on the video on the white HZ ute. Guys, talking about motivation in general, times have changed, obviously. I'm talking about, you know, Motivation 98, 97, 96, you know, when I was a kid and I used to go and watch it and watch all the guys doing their thing. There was events like the Slalom, the Go to Woe, Spear the Spud. One of the events was, you know, going in and out of the garages as quick as you can without hitting the bollards, etc. The motivation these days, is burnouts, 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 and everyone likes burnouts, but I more so appreciate vehicles and watching the way they drive, the way they maneuver, what the driver's doing without smoke everywhere and you can't even, you know, see what's going on. I understand the Motorplex is a different venue to, you know, Motivation 98, which was held at the Burswood Dome, where they used to have the events in, you know, secluded car park area. If you have a look at YouTube and, you know, type in Burswood Dome Motivation 98, you'll see what I'm sort of saying. The dynamic is completely changed. So my question is to you guys, like, what do you wish would come back, you know, that's no longer really existing in car events these days? You know, what would you like to see reintroduced or brought back to make it not all about just burnouts, burnouts, more about, you know, the drivers, their vehicles and what they're capable of, really, other than, you know, thrashing it on the snake bit for 3-4 minutes straight and you can't really see what the car's doing. Yeah, that's really all I'm sort of asking. What do you think? Thanks, guys.
Cheers, Kev. Appreciate it, mate.
That was a good question.
It was a good question. There was a time even at the Perth Motorplex when they had a lot more driving events, sort of Motorcana, you know, like the garages and the Spear the Spud and all that sort of stuff. They did it in the infield of the Speedway. I'm not sure why that's sort of taken a back seat now. I'm assuming it's probably due to staffing.
I feel or like, just attendance, like maybe less and less people tick that box on their entry, you know, when it came to it.
Yeah, maybe. Because obviously they still do the slalom and the go-to-woe. That's something they do on the drag strip. So that's why I was like, because those other events did take part in the infield of the Speedway, I was seeing that's like another group of staff that are required. That's another level of setup. That's, you know, it's probably an easy one. Like you say, if there's not enough people ticking that box to just go, do you know what? We're just going to skip that. That was there at Red Centre Nats though. They did have that set up there at, you know, over
on the oval. Oval there. I can't remember what they called place, but it doesn't matter. No. They had it there. That was like the Motorcana style.
Yeah. Yeah. So they had that. They had the,
and there was not many people doing it. Either really, was there?
Well, there wasn't a lot of people spectating. I went over and filmed a couple of cars doing it, but yeah, I didn't see a whole bunch of people lining up to do it. I think it was obviously a requirement for Grand Champion to do it, so they had to do it. Which, in saying that, it's probably not a terrible thing to make them do it at the Motorplex either. Add some diversity to Grand Champion, make them do some grass events. It's a bit of a shame to make such a nice clean car dirty, but that's what they're for.
Yeah, it's a tough one to put your finger on, really, because I remember just all the events sort of back in that era were, I don't know, more pleasant for me anyway. I think they were better going off my memory. They felt better. Like, did you ever do any of the cruise for charities?
Yes.
So, like, do you reckon you'd ever get another turnout like that again if you were doing it?
Unlikely.
Like, you know, that's just, yeah, I don't know. I don't really know exactly.
The cruise charity also got to a point where the attendance wasn't pleasurable because you had too many cars, and when you were trying to get out of the meet point, you were just stuck in gridlock for God knows how long.
Yeah.
There's a sweet spot for that kind of thing. You know, even though they had traffic management.
That's a logistics issue more than like, if that was just one show for the day and they were all there and you only left once, and you came once and left once, there was some, I don't know. I think there's just less people because we're surrounded by the people that we are. We can't see the bigger picture of how many people really aren't doing it anymore.
Yeah. I guess because we don't live that close to the capital city, that's where most of the events go on. And with our shift rosters and whatever, we miss out on a lot of stuff. So there's probably more going on than we realize. And, you know,
I still think there's probably less total. Like, you only need to look at like your shops, like Active Automotive and stuff, that they would, their percentage of what they do now with performance stuff would be quite a lot lower than what it was even say 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Everyone's doing the diesel, you know, Trader Ute and Land Cruiser stuff. Like, that's just sort of where everyone's going. I think just more and more people are leaving, and what we've got left is the people that are in these sort of streetcar groups and they just want to do the skids or whatever.
Mm. So as people who I guess are, dare I say it, like ambassadors for the medium, you know, like for this sort of streetcar stuff, what do we do or what can we do with our viewership to then take it back to how it was?
I think trying to encourage people to get their cars out, because that's the other thing. It's not always a good idea to drive your cars all the time with just the way we're perceived really to the general public, you know, because you've got these fuckwits that are out in like Mexico or whatever, which I'm not against the Mexico thing, but it's like you got to pick your time and a place, and we've spoken about this before, so I'm not going to go down that road again, but you've got to, it's a negative, you know, overall I think it's probably more negative view on you seeing someone with a hotted up car, so you're not inclined to get it out as much as say you would, you know, like local meets, you've got to start small, you've got to start in your locality really,
get
you and a couple of mates and just decide when the weather's good, we're just going to go out. And then, so next summer, that's where I'm going to be at. We're going to be concentrating on just getting the few guys out. And then when you get them out, and then it grows and grows. And that's, you got to, grow it from the ground up.
Yeah, that was my thoughts as well. Once we sort of get your temp issue under control and we get your car tuned, then you've got yours, I've got mine. We know a few people in our local area, and it'd be like an invite-only thing to start with, because you've got to, you got to have some level of control for these kind of things, right? So, and then they're not necessarily people that we're friends with or talk to regularly, but we know who they are and we know what car they've got. And we'd send them a message and be like, hey, we're going to do a meet. This is going to be a trial thing. We're also going to be filming content. Don't be a fuckwit and don't be against having your car on it, basically.
Yeah.
Come along, have a good time. If that goes well, then we'll grow it a little bit. Grow it a little bit. And then over time, who knows, we might be able to do a large-scale meet in Perth or whatever.
Yeah. And it doesn't always have to be huge to be enjoyable either. I think probably more smaller ones that are more your niche.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like they have like the chrome bumper things, you know, where you can go to that. And you can have mingling and stuff, but more people wanting to get involved on a local level with more smaller events is probably going to be better overall than, like, we don't have to have one big event. That's all we've got, and we've got to make it as good as we can, because with the bigger events, you're going to have those, you know, the people that just make it hard.
Yeah.
I think smaller ones, more people wanting to take on smaller stuff on a streetcar level, really.
Yeah,
so you don't have to hire, you're not going to have to hire venues and stuff like that necessarily. You can just, you know, go here or go there.
So there you go. Maybe we don't rely on things like motivation. Maybe if you've got a couple of mates in your local area, start a social meetup and, you know, see where that goes.
And
even if it only starts with five or six cars, sometimes you have those five or six cars parked up having a yarn, and then one or two people drive past and go, oh, and they stop in. Then before you know it, you're organically growing.
Yeah. And then you can go to motivation or whatever show as a club or as a, you know, as
social
a group.
sort of
like what we did. We're not a club or anything, but we had the four cars there, you know. Ash was with us as well, so you know, that's how you get there. You get your groups, you know,
and then hopefully in
start local and then go from there.
Yeah, hopefully in years to come, you know, we'll be able to bring this wagon, and maybe the compound turbo chaser will join us at motivation. So, you know, over time we might end up with like 10 cars, like in a tour hub sort of camp.
Yeah.
Which would be cool.
But do numerous things over the year, not just like, oh, this is the one time we'll get to hang out or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely.
Once we get cars running, then we can do. We've always said that. We don't want to just do build videos. We don't want to be a channel that just does build videos. But while we're building cars, that's just what you get. Once we finish building cars and we start driving cars, then you're going to get more driving videos.
Yeah, and racing and stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, starting at the ground level, I think, is the best place to be. And reaching out, like, you've got all these platforms, like, what we've got and whoever, you know, like, we get enough people wanting to do a meet somewhere, we'll be cruising up to Perth and come to see you guys or whoever and talk the shit.
Yeah.
See what yous are doing.
Yeah. For sure.
That's what it's all about, really.
That is what it's all about. Well, mate, you've got a night shift tonight. It's probably time for you to just about pack your bags and give your pillow some head.
Yeah, I think that was a perfect sign-off, really.
Yep.
That'd be good.
Thanks for your call, Gav. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no, it was, that was a really good one. So I don't know if I answered the question or not, but
Yeah, I think we kind of went on a bit of a tangent, but I think we kind of roughly addressed it.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Let us know if we didn't, mate. Like I say, guys, for the next podcast, if you'd like to leave us a voice message, go to talkhub.com.au. There's a red button on the right-hand side. You can send us a voicemail. Also, there's a merch store there if you want to get yourself a hat, shirt, hoodie, stubby holder, sticker, or socks. We've still got some socks left. We've sold a fair few, but we've still got a couple left. You can go there, place an order, and I will bag it up and send it to your door.
That's it. So thanks again for watching. It's always good, isn't it? It's always good to knock one of these out a month.
Yeah, and I'm proud. We haven't missed a month yet.
Well, that's pretty good.
But
a month is definitely a lot easier, and this is a lot easier.
We do need to pump out some more videos, though.
Yeah. Even some smaller, shorter ones.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to get on to that. I've just grabbed a bunch of footage off the camera this morning, so I'm going to go through that and see what I can work with. Hopefully get a low-cut fuck truck update out for you in the not-too-distant future.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. See ya.
Bye.